It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. See all your smiling faces. I have entitled the lesson today, A Lesson from Solomon. We're going to look a little bit about who Solomon is and why he was even important in the Word of God. Why he's important in our lives today. And this lesson today is, as we look into, we're going to get into Proverbs as well, but as we look in there, you're going to see that Proverbs was written for the young men, young men and women. And so I'm going to be talking to you teenagers mostly today, young at heart guys. Some of you are new in the faith. You've just recently become Christian, and so you're a young child of God as well, no matter what your age is. So be especially attentive today as God speaks to us from His Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank You today for the message that You've given, and I ask, Father, that I'll not get in Your way today, but that You'll be able to speak through me, Father. Just say what You want to this body that's here today. Father, You knew before any of us who would be here today and who would be blessed because we were hearing the Word of God. And so, Father, I thank You that You're here in our midst. I thank You that we're in Your presence, that we can sit here at Your feet today and hear what You're saying to the church, or that You'll speak to each one of us in Your way. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to begin with, who is Solomon? What value does he have in the Word of God? Well, Solomon, and let's begin in 1 Kings, actually, chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple verses here that tell us who Solomon is. Verses 28 to 30, it says, "Then King David said, 'Call in Bathsheba.' So she came into the king's presence and stood before him." And for those of you who don't know, Bathsheba was one of David's wives. And she is the mother of Solomon. So David is his father. King David is Solomon's father. So the king then took an oath, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble, I will surely carry out today what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on the throne in my place." So there was actually a battle going on. One of Solomon's brothers was trying to become king in his place. He was trying to raise up people that would stand with him so that he could be king next. And this was what was going on. There was a fight going between brothers trying to decide who was going to be king next. So David made it official that Solomon was going to be the next king. So let's go over now to chapter 2 and see what David, before he passed on, he gave a charge to his son, Solomon, to walk in the ways of God. And we're going to look at this in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2. It says, "When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. 'I am about to go the way of all the earth,' he said. 'So, be strong. Show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in His ways, keep His decrees and commands, His laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. And that the Lord may keep His promise to me, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. So God had made a vow with David that his line would always have a king on the throne. So that's what he's telling Solomon here. He said, you're actually part of a vow that God made with me that our family will always have a king on the throne. So Solomon is actually a pretty important guy in our lives and in the lives of the children of Israel as they were growing up here. So the neat thing about Solomon is when he was, after he became king and he was going up to do sacrifices and stuff one day, God met him. Well, let's just look at it. Go over to chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 5 in chapter 3. It says, at Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. How many of you have dreams? Do you guys remember your dreams? And I don't remember my dreams. I don't know why, but I just I'm sure I probably have some, but I don't remember them. I would love to see the Lord in a dream and hear Him talk to me. I've never had that happen yet, so I'm kind of anxious for that. I'd like to see it happen. I'd like to just visit with the Lord in a dream that way. But this is what happened to Solomon. And so he was there, and God actually told him to ask whatever you want. And you, when I think of this, I think of you always see the genie, you know, that comes out, and they wipe the bottle, and the genie pops out, and he says, I'll give you whatever you want. Well, this is basically what God asked of Solomon. And we're going to see the wisdom of Solomon in this, because he didn't ask for riches and fame and all those things, but he asked that God would give him wisdom. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. And I didn't look. Do you know how old he was at this time, Matt? I didn't. Okay, he already had children, but he was young. He was just a young man, had a family. But he said, I'm a child. He knew how much he needed God in his life. And he was smart enough to figure that out. And so that's why he said, I'm only a little child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth or yourself, for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime, what's two pages? In your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And then he gave a feast for all his court. And if you go on and read in 1 Kings, you'll see a lot of the wise decisions that Solomon did, some of the rulings that he did, and judgments, but we're not going to look at that so much as I do want to go to chapter 4, though. Verses 29 through 34. It says, So God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the east, greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Maol. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his sons numbered 1,005. Or his songs, not his sons, his songs measured 1,005. He described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also taught about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. So Solomon wrote a lot of songs, and most of the proverbs and that's what we're going to go next is to proverbs, but he wrote nearly all the proverbs. Solomon had more wisdom than any other man, because that's what he asked God for. He asked God for wisdom. He asked for a discerning heart. What I want you to understand today, guys, is that we have to spend time in the Word and get to know God. And it's especially important for you youngsters. I actually waited till I was in midlife before I started spending a lot of time in the Word. Saying this today because I want to challenge you guys to make it a point in your daily life to spend time in the Word of God, spend time with the Father every day and in the Word. And Proverbs is a really good place to start. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 1. As I went and looked at the analysis of Proverbs and such, I'm not really going to get into all that because I want to look at a little bit of what Solomon is wanting to teach us as young people. But first of all, in the first few verses there of Proverbs chapter 1 is the purpose and theme of Proverbs, why it was written and what it's about. And it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. They are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. If you can remember those three words, it'll be enough for today. But you want to do what's right and just and fair. One of the first verses that I remember learning was, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, the golden rule. That's kind of what doing what is right and just and fair is all about. Being fair with people, being just. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So if you don't have a Bible to read, I will make sure that I can get you one of those. Now you can get the Bible on your phone, so you'll carry it with you all the time. Most teenagers love their phones, so you can get the Bible right on your phone. The Gideons have a Bible app for their phone. There's over 1,000 different versions of it on there. Not versions, but languages. There's just gobs and gobs of languages. If you want to learn a new language, you can actually learn it on your phone with the Bible, because there's translations that show you English and then they'll show you another version. So it's a great way to learn another language if you want to learn another language. But since you guys like your phones with you all the time and your keyboard and all the time on them, well, you can read the Word of God on your phone anytime you want. So it's a great way to read the Word, spend time with the Father. In chapter 1, it also says to embrace wisdom, and probably this is mostly what I'm going to be talking about today, is wisdom and how important it is in our lives, and why it was important to Solomon is just as important to us, so that we make wise decisions, so that we do what the godly things that he wants us to do. So we're going to begin now in verse 8. I'm going to read some of chapter 1 here, and probably down into chapter 2 as well. It says, "Listen to my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Just for a reference, when I was a teenager, I was smarter than my dad. I don't know if any of you are that way, but I thought I knew everything when I was a teenager. I don't know if this is how all teenagers act, but I was that way, and I think my brothers and sisters were as well. It wasn't until I got married, had children of my own, that I realized Dad was pretty smart. And that I never was smarter than he was, but I thought I was. So I just saying that because I want you to know that you probably are not smarter than your dad's, even though you're really smart. But I don't know, our fathers and mothers have been through so much already that they're pretty smart, pretty wise. So that's why Solomon says, and he says a lot of times in here, to listen to our parents, to pay attention to what they're saying, because they do know what they're talking about. And I don't know why I thought that I was so smart, because I hadn't even been through high school yet. I was on my way, but I wasn't through it yet. And those parents had already been through high school, and my mom was already through a couple years of college. But I figured out that, hey, I wasn't really as smart as I thought I was. So I'm just giving you that little tidbit so maybe you can learn from my mistake. But by doing this, there in verse 9 it says, "They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive and like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse.' My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They're swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock what calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. And notice that wisdom is talking about herself like she's very, very valuable here, and she is. Wisdom is, and that's what's going on here, is wisdom is talking to you and letting you know how valuable she is. When they call to me, I will answer. When they will call to me, but I will not answer, they will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, or whoever listens to wisdom, will live in safety and will be at ease without fear of harm. Wisdom is an important part of our lives, something that we have to have to live daily, to make decisions, to teens have a lot of decisions to make. You guys are going to be going to college, most of you. You got to decide where. You got to decide what you're going to do in life. I grew up thinking I was going to be a farmer. So I took college ag courses. Not college, but I took high school ag courses and planned on being a farmer. My dad was a farmer. Thought I was going to be a farmer, following his footsteps. But when I graduated from high school and finished baling hay that summer, Dad said, "There's not enough work here on the farm for all you boys." So he said, "You probably should pick a trade you like and begin in that." So I started building houses 50 years ago this month. It's kind of amazing, as young as I am. Just kidding. But I've been building houses for 50 years, but I did. I started when I was 18 years old, 50 years ago in August. So it's, you have to make those decisions. It was part of God's plan for my life. I can see that now because I'm looking back, but I didn't know that then. My best friend was a carpenter, and he got me the job, so that's why I started building houses. But God, as I say, God did have a plan for my life in that. Business has been very good for our family, and I've never felt like I've had to work for a living because I've always enjoyed what I do. And so I would encourage you as young people to find a trade or a job or something that you love, to make your life's work, because then it won't feel like a job, but it'll feel like it's fun, something that I like, and the work can be fun, because let's face it, most of our day is spent at work. We normally have 8 to 9 or 10 hours a day that we spend at our trade working, and usually we quit because we're tired. Not because we hate it, but because we're tired. It's time to go home and rest. Especially for me, since this is not as easy as it was when I was 18. I could go pretty much all day and all night, and I kind of did that for a while. But I don't do that anymore. If I try to do that, I'd fall asleep way before nighttime. So, and I do. So, but pick a job you like, guys, because that's what you're going to spend your life at. And I've seen men hold jobs their whole lives and be totally angry about it and come home and take their anger out on their families, and then this life's done, and they've spent their whole life angry. So don't do that. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, then pick something that you do like, a job, so that you enjoy what you're doing. It's not part of what I had written down, but God just reminded me to share that with you. I want to finish up today in Proverbs 7. And I am about done, Matt, if you want to let Spanky know. Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 3 is again a warning for the young. It says, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart." So there is good advice all through Proverbs, and it's probably one of my most underlined books. As I read through the Word every year, I always underline something that sticks for me, something that I really enjoyed and something that I can learn from. And there's so many good parables or sayings. Proverbs are actually sayings about life. They're just writings or sayings about life that tell us of something that we need to know and do. So it's a good place to start. If you're a young person and you haven't started reading the Word of God daily, why, Proverbs is a really good place to start, because there's just so much of Solomon's wisdom here. So I would challenge you to just go through and read it all. I want to finish up today with spent the night at Jamie's last night, and she has the little guideposts, and I found one that this morning that fit. I want to just finish up with it. And this is what prayer can do. And I'm saying this, I'm using this for you parents who are praying for your children. It's something that's really dear to my heart, because both of our children spent a few years in rebellion, and we had to pray them back into the kingdom. And we got to the place where we prayed God to do whatever it takes, because we couldn't get through to them. And I want you to hear this story today. This is from Diane Stark from Brazil, Indiana. It says, "Dyslexia, processing disorder, learning disability. Nothing in my online search matched the issues that my 6-year-old son Nathan was having at school. When his teacher had expressed concern about his progress, I shifted into overdrive, trying to pinpoint the problem. But despite several developmental tests, we still had no conclusive diagnosis. Nathan kept falling further behind in school. My internet searches weren't turning up any answers, nor were my daily prayers. 'Why aren't you helping me, God?' I thought as I switched off the computer one evening and picked up the laundry basket. 'Mommy,' Nathan called as I passed his room, 'I can't find my dinosaur jammies.' 'They're in the dryer,' I called back to him on my way downstairs. 'I'll get them for you.' This at least was a problem I could fix. I unloaded the dryer, folded the clean laundry in the basket as I went. I made sure to put Nathan's favorite dinosaur pajamas on top, carried the basket upstairs. First stop, Nathan's room. He was sitting on the bed sobbing. 'Honey, what's wrong?' I said. 'I asked you to help me find my pajamas, but you didn't answer.' Nathan obviously hadn't heard me call out to him from stairs. 'I called you over and over,' he said, 'but you didn't help me.' "I'm sorry, Nathan," I said. "I was down in the laundry and I couldn't hear you." "But look," I held up the dinosaur pajamas, still warm from the dryer. "I was helping you the whole time." Nathan wiped away his tears. "Thank you, Mommy," he said. Then he grinned at me. "I should have known you'd help me, because you always have." Nathan's words struck a chord with me. Maybe my son wasn't the only one who needed to learn a thing or two about trust. I stopped my internet searches and spent that time helping Nathan with his homework instead. Something clicked in his brain. By the end of the school year, he had caught up with his class. God had been helping him and me all along. So as parents, we have God as our helper. He can do what we can't do, and we can trust Him. So a little note for you parents that God is there with you all the time, no matter if it looks like things aren't going the way you think they should. He has all of our kids figured out already, and has a plan for your lives. Jeremiah 29, what's the verse? 29 something. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans for future, so on. I don't have it memorized, but it's something like that. So God has a plan for each of your lives as young people, and He wants what's best for you. So make sure that you spend enough time with Him so that you'll know when He's speaking to you to tell you which way to go. If any of you have never accepted the Lord as your Savior, or you'd like to just come for prayer this morning for any reason, we'll be here. The praise team will be here. We'll do a final song. So if any of you need prayer, come up, and we'd love to pray with you.